Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'll be preaching from the book of Galatians, Paul's letter, epistle to the churches of Galatia. And I'll be in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and the title of the message is Standing Fast in Liberty. Standing Fast in Liberty. This is where in the Apostle Paul writes to these professing believers in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, in order to understand this, the liberty that he's talking about, what he's talking about is spiritual liberty. He's not talking about physical liberty, but spiritual liberty. And to understand what this spiritual liberty really is, you have to understand what the yoke of bondage is. He says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, bondage, you know what bondage is, being tied up, being contained, being limited as far as freedoms go. The bondage that he's talking about here is the bondage of legalism. Now, what is legalism? Well, legalism is that religion, or any religion, that places the salvation of a sinner conditioned on that sinner. In other words, what you do or what you don't do. People today, for example, it's common for people to measure righteousness for example, based upon what they don't do. Over in the book of Colossians, Paul dealt with that when he's talking about taste not, touch not, handle not. So in other words, if I don't do this and don't do that and don't do this, that makes me righteous. And Paul said that's not true. That's worldliness. Righteousness is not does not consist of what we don't do, but righteousness does not consist in what we do. In other words, a person says, well, you know, I'm going to do my best to be moral, to be good, to be kind, to be generous, and all those things are things we should do. But they don't measure up to righteousness, you see. Righteousness is something that can only be found in the perfection of the law attained by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have to understand that. People have such a skewed view of righteousness. They think, well, it's a person doing the best they can. You know, when the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, what is the glory of God? We miss the mark. We don't hit the target. And the target is the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is found in Christ. It's in His glorious person, and in the finished work that He accomplished in His obedience unto death on the cross to die for His people. He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day. The fact of His resurrection is the stamp, the great evidence that He finished the work of paying for the sin debt of His people, putting our sins away, and establishing perfect righteousness. The book of Hebrews in Hebrews 7:11 calls it a perfection that could not be accomplished by the law. Could not do it. But only Christ could accomplish it. And so when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it means we've missed righteousness. Even with our best efforts, the Bible says man at his best state is altogether vanity. In other words, no matter how hard you try, how diligent you attempt to make yourself acceptable to God by your works, you will not make it. I will not make it. That's why salvation is by grace and not by works. Now, those people who insist on seeking to establish their own righteousness by their works, they're in bondage. They're legalist. It's all law works. And that, you know, the law was given to Israel through Moses to show them the impossibility of doing that, to show them their sinfulness. That's what the law was given for. Now, here in Galatia, you had professing believers, and what happened was certain Jewish false professors, they claimed to be Christian. These were men who claimed to be Christian, but they were Jews, but they were false professors, because what they were trying to do to the Galatians is they were trying to incite the Galatians to go under the law for some part of salvation. It would be like saying, well, I know we're saved by grace, but you must do this or do that or don't do this or do that in order to really be saved. And it's the same situation. Now, let me tell you this. Don't miss this. It's the same situation when people say, well, we're saved by grace, we're justified by grace, but our works determines our rewards in heaven. My friend, that's just as much bondage. It's a Christ plus religion. The religion of grace is Christ alone. Christ is made of God unto me to be my whole wisdom, my whole righteousness, my whole sanctification, my whole redemption. Christ is all and in all. I have no righteousness but Christ. And that's what Paul had originally preached in this area called Galatia. He preached the gospel, and through him God established several groups of believers, and now they were being attacked by these false professors, false prophets, these Jewish legalists. And you remember Paul back in chapter 1, he said, that's another gospel. And it's the Greek word another, which means another of a different kind, not another of the same kind. And if any man come unto you and preach another gospel, though we or an angel from heaven, he said, preach another gospel, let him be anathema. So here's the exhortation, verse 1 of chapter 5, stand fast, stand firm, immovably firm. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't even think about returning to that legalism. Legalism is deadly. Legalism is false. Legalism is dishonoring to God. The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and I mentioned this last week, it's liberty. It's freedom from sin. Now, don't get me wrong. When God saves a sinner and brings that sinner into a spiritual union with Christ, faith union, God-given faith, that doesn't mean you're free from sinning. You stop sinning then. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I still sin because nothing I do measures up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. But how am I free from sin? Well, I'm justified before God based upon the blood of Christ. That means this. That means that my sin, the debt of my sins, all my sins, have been paid for completely, not by anything I've contributed, but only by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ satisfied God's justice against me for my sins. He took my punishment. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know what that means? That means the Lord imputed, charged, accounted my sin debt to Christ. And therefore, he cannot and will not impute my sins to me. That's why David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I'm free from any power of sin to condemn me. Now, I'm not free from sinning yet. I will be when I leave this world, leave the flesh behind, and go to be with Him. And then in glory, when Christ returns, I'll be glorified, given a new sinless body, sinless mind, all of that. Then I'll be totally liberated even from the presence, the power, and the contamination of sin. But right now, I'm standing firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. My sins cannot condemn me. Now somebody says, well, that just means you can go out and sin all you want. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because there's more to this liberation, this freedom, than the legal aspect. But that legal aspect is the ground of it. It's the joy of it. It's the power of it. It's the source of it. So I'm free. Stand fast in that. I'm to fight sin, knowing that my sins cannot condemn me because of the righteousness of Christ imputed, charged, accounted to me. Now I'm free from the deception of sin or the deception of Satan, because where I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was blind, now I see. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to liberate me from the deception and darkness of unbelief. God has given me faith to believe. And though I'm still a sinner, saved by the grace of God, I see that my only hope is in Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, I've been given eyes to see, ears to hear, heart, a new heart. That's the new birth. The Holy Spirit has given me life from the dead. I'm free from spiritual death because I've been made alive in Christ. I'm free from the law. The law cannot condemn me because sin is not imputed to me. I have Christ's righteousness imputed to me. And so how do I know that? What is the evidence of all that? God the Holy Spirit indwells me and brings me to believe the gospel and to persevere in the faith. You see, it's not a situation where I see sins cannot condemn me, therefore I can go out and sin as much as I want. It's a situation of where I see sins cannot condemn me, righteousness is being imputed to me, and that righteousness is the source and power of spiritual life within, whereby the Holy Spirit inspires me and motivates me to be an obedient servant of God, not trying to make myself righteous in order for God to accept me. I aim towards righteousness. But my righteousness that got by the righteousness by which God accepts me is a finished work. It's not a progressive work. It's finished. It was finished on the cross. John 19:30. Christ said, "It's finished." And that's what He meant. And so the Holy Spirit inspires me to be an obedient child of God, a willing, loving bondslave of Christ, and not in bondage to the law. In other words, to obey God motivated by grace and love and gratitude and not by legal fear of punishment or mercenary promise of earned reward. That's bondage, you see. So stand fast in that liberty. And look what else He says. Look at verse 2. He says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, one of the biggest things that these Jewish false preachers were teaching is that for the Gentile males who claim to be believers, that they must be circumcised. And they would say, well, you're a believer, you're saved by the grace of God, but in order to be really saved, in order to be really righteous in God's sight, in order to earn your rewards in heaven, you've got to be circumcised physically. And Paul's saying here in verse 2, if you be circumcised for those reasons, you're denying Christ. Christ will profit you nothing. You profess to be a believer in Christ. You profess that all of your salvation is by Him, but you submit to that legal bondage to be circumcised in order to be saved or to be more righteous or to earn your rewards, your profession of Christ means nothing. He'll profit you nothing. Listen to what Paul wrote over here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Now listen to this. He says in verse 14 of chapter 6, "But God forbid that I should glory," and that word glory there means to boast, "that I should boast, save or except in one thing, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of the God-man, the finished work of Christ, God manifest in the flesh, in His as our surety and substitute and redeemer, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." In other words, glorying only in the cross of Christ has changed my whole relationship with this world. And look at verse 15. He says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature," or a new creation. Christ has brought me into a new state, a state of grace, whereas I was blind and I was ignorant and I was rebellious and unsubmissive to the gospel. In that state of legal bondage, now I'm in a state of grace. And that's what he's saying, stand fast. Look back at Galatians 5 in verse 3. He said, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law." Now what he's talking about is every person, every man who is circumcised in order to gain or maintain salvation, or in order to establish their own righteousness before God, or to earn their rewards with God. What he's saying, you're a debtor to do the whole law. You're still under that legal bondage. That's what the law requires. The law doesn't require, listen, the law of God does not require you to do the best you can. Now, you hear what I'm saying? Should you do the best you can in morality and responsibility, good citizenship, good family member? Should you do the best you can? Yes, but that's not what the law requires. The law requires perfection, righteousness. You see, that's why the judgment of God is by the perfect law as fulfilled in Christ. I quote this verse all the time on this program, Acts 17:31, which talks about how God has prepared a day. He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You see, Christ did what was required by the law. Remember he told the Pharisees, he said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I come to keep the law, every jot and every tittle of the law." Now, that's what the law requires. And so, yes, we're to do the best we can, but we're to recognize that the best we can do will not save us. We look to Christ for salvation. We're to do the best we can in thanksgiving and gratitude, motivated by grace to Him. So he says, if you're circumcised for that reason, in that legal bondage, you're a debtor to do the whole law. Over in Galatians chapter 3, just back one page, in verse 10, listen to what he says here. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law," trying to be saved by works of the law, "are under the curse." Why is that? Well, it's written. This is back in Deuteronomy chapter 27. "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And so he says in verse 11, "But that no man is justified." What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of sins. It's to be declared righteous in God's sight. "But that no man is justified by the law," that is, by his works, "in the sight of God, it's evident, for the justified shall live by faith." Now, what is it to live by faith? It's not to live by the power of faith. It's to live looking to Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. You understand that? You know, some people today make faith their Savior. In other words, they believe, well, Christ did His part, now I got to do my part and seal the deal or make it effectual by believing. Oh, no. Christ did it all. And if He did it all for you, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be brought to faith in Him, to look to Him, rest in Him and His finished work, His blood, His righteousness alone. For Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4. And that's what He did. We'll look back at Galatians 5. Now this is standing fast in the liberty. Standing fast in the liberty of Christ. Verse 4, He says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, for you are fallen from grace. You may claim to be saved by grace. You may claim that Christ is your whole salvation. But if you think your salvation and your justification before God, the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness which entitles you to heaven's glory, to eternal life, if you think that your works under the law are any part of that, you're fallen from grace. Now, that doesn't mean you lost salvation. What He's saying here when He says you're fallen from grace, it means you're denying what you profess. You profess salvation by grace, but you're literally denying it. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. This is a huge problem in today's, in a lot of places that claim to be Christian. It's not salvation totally by God's grace based upon totally Christ and what He finished, but it's salvation based upon what Christ did plus what you do or what you decide. And that's a denial of grace. You claim to be saved by grace, but grace to you is just a jump start. It's just like jumping a car with battery cables, giving you the start. Now you keep it going. And I'll tell you one of the most subtle ways that people buy into that legalism, that bondage, is when they believe that salvation is by grace, but you're kept or preserved by your works. And they'll say this, they'll say, well, you can be saved, but if you do this, do that, or don't do this, do that, you can be lost again. That's why we talk about salvation is an eternal security because of the finished work of Christ. And no, that doesn't give any true believer a license to sin. Any person who uses grace as an excuse to sin is an unbeliever. And men and women will abuse anything. So you can't go by them. You got to go by the Scripture. But those who believe you can be saved one day and lost the next, they're in bondage. They're not standing fast in the liberty of Christ. They're denying grace. They claim it's by grace, but grace to them is just a jump start. It's just a help. It's kind of like what the guy said, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, but that's what most people believe. So He says you're fallen from grace. But look at verse 5. For we through the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now the hope there is not wishful thinking into the future. Well, I hope I can make it. The hope here is the certain assurance of righteousness by faith. And what is righteousness by faith? It's the righteousness of Christ, His finished work, His merits, His righteousness imputed, which we receive by the Spirit through faith. And waiting here is believing. That's what it is. Persevering. I know that I'm sure for salvation because of the righteousness that Christ worked out on my behalf as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. He is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. I will not be lost. I cannot be lost because He won't let me go. That's grace. Saved by grace. Kept by grace. and ultimately glorified by grace. And so in verse 6, he says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And there's the key. It's not faith that is dead, as James says, but it's faith that works, not in order to be saved, not in legal bondage, but by love, serving God as a willing, loving bondservant. Most of you know the law of the bondservant back in Exodus 25. You know, when a person got in debt to somebody and they couldn't pay the debt, then they became a slave to that person until the debt was paid. And after the debt was paid, they had the choice as to whether to stay with their master or to go out free. And those who loved their master, even though their debt was paid, they stayed with their master. And you remember how they bore their ear with an awl to show that they were a bond slave. In other words, I believe in most cultures, in the Jewish culture, they put a ring in their ear. And what that meant was this person was serving his master or her master, not out of a legal debt, but because of love. Serving God out of love, grace, gratitude. Paul made the statement in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, "The love of Christ constraineth us, constrains me in my life." That's Christ's love for me. And because of his love for me, we love him. Herein is love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice who brought satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. If he's made you free, then you know that it's all by his finished work, it's all by the grace of God that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.